We have come to December 17, which in the liturgy marks the beginning of a new phase of the Advent season, the second stage, the more intense preparation for the birthday of the Messiah. Here in the Philippines, this transition from the first part of Advent to the second gets a little bit obscured or overshadowed by the Simbang Gabi Novena, which started yesterday. So the Simbang Gabi Novena is 9 days, and the period of Advent we have just entered is 8 days. So it's a little bit of a mixture. But you know, the Catholic tradition is not to choose one or the other. We do both. That's Catholic style, both and. And you see this all the time in Catholic tradition, both and. Is the Bible the Word of God or the Word of man? Well, both. Is the Church holy or corrupt? Well, both. And actually the heart of this, the very heart of that both and style is Jesus. Is Jesus God or man? Well, both. He's 100% God and he's 100% man. So this is how we, he's the basis of everything that we do. So as I mentioned at the beginning of the Mass, December 17 is an important day for me personally, because it's my anniversary of my baptism, which means now I'm a spiritual senior citizen, 60 years a Christian. It's also the birthday of Pope Francis. I don't know how old he is. Does anybody know? 84? 85? 85. So we pray for him. And since I'm mentioning intentions, let's also keep in our prayers the victims of the typhoon. It's really raging there in the middle western Visayas area right now. Typhoon Odette. Okay, anyway, the focus of the gospel of the readings is Jesus Christ. The focus of the Advent season is Jesus Christ. The focus of the whole liturgical year and of everything is Jesus Christ. Now we get to the very first words of the very first book of the New Testament, Gospel of Matthew, and we encounter all these names. Writers really work hard at figuring out how to begin. If you've ever written anything, you know how hard it is to start. And so novelists and journalists and poets, the beginning is really one of the hardest things about writing. And usually the modern mentality is you have to start with something that grabs the people's attention. You have to introduce your style of writing or the topic or the whatever it is, the novel, with something that really grabs people. So from that standard, this is a terrible way to start the gospel, because okay, it's okay to start with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. At least you get the patriarchs, maybe Judah, but once you get to Ram and Salmon and Nashon and all these, you say, well, we lost the reader. No one's going to pay any attention anymore. That's the modern idea. And so if you were at a Mass this morning at 4 a.m., you know what happens. The priest stands up and starts reading the genealogy and people start dozing off. By the time they get to the 14th generation or the 28th generation, people are not paying any attention at all to this list of names. Matthew doesn't have that mentality that he has to follow any standards of writing. He's introducing something new, and he's doing it in a way that respects tradition and also breaks tradition. Both and. The story of Jesus' family history is just like everybody else's story, and yet it's not like anybody's story. Both and. It's quite an extraordinary piece of literature, even from the literary standpoint. You see, Matthew is striving, and he's inspired by the Holy Spirit, to introduce Jesus Christ. How can you introduce someone who is so, well, big, and yet also so small? who is Son of God and also Son of Mary. Now, we're used to this, in a sense, and people of faith are used to knowing Jesus, God and man. God and man, the Son of God, Son of Mary. But if you're trying to introduce him to someone who doesn't know that, you're writing the very beginning of the New Testament, but what do you do? Now, part of the problem is, God himself set up a problem. He made all these promises about the coming of the Messiah. He's going to be, well, first of all, he's going to be from the chosen people. He's going to be a descendant of Abraham. That's a given, because the Jews were chosen, and God respects his call. So the Messiah, the Savior, has to be son of Abraham. Well, that's granted in the genealogy from the very beginning. He has to be from the tribe of Judah. Why? Well, that because of the prophecy we read in today's first reading, book of Genesis, Judah is given prominence. He's not the oldest son, but he's the one who is going to be the most prominent son of Jacob. One of the 12 tribes, Judah gets chosen to be the source of the Messiah, which eliminates, by the way, John the Baptist, because John the Baptist isn't from the tribe of Judah. So I don't know why the people thought John might be the Messiah. We've been talking about John all week, and now we realize, wait a minute, he doesn't have the same genealogy as Jesus. Okay, Abraham has to be from Judah. He has to be a descendant of David. He has to be of the royal line of David, so that eliminates a lot of other people. And yet, he has to be greater than David. He has to be greater than Solomon, also a descendant of Solomon. He has to be more than even his own greatest ancestors. And he also has to be human. See, this is the challenge. If you make him too great, then we can't relate to him. He's not connected to us. If we make him too ordinary, well, then he doesn't have the power to save us. Again, thinking of literature, this is how literary figures are always challenged. If you make your characters too great, then people can't relate to them. If you make them too weak, then there's no, you don't get anything out of them. Even the comic books have this problem, you know, superheroes. If you have a Superman, well, he comes from another planet. He's basically an alien. Yeah, he's great. He's Man of Steel. He can fly and everything. But who's like that? So Superman is too far away. But then if you have someone too ordinary, he doesn't have any power. So you get James Bond or somebody. Well, he's not a superhero, but he's all special training and all kinds of gadgets. Or you get this in-between people like Spider-Man, for example, or the Incredible Hulk or someone like this, who's an ordinary human being who suddenly has this special power bestowed on him. You know, his gamma rays or, you know, some experiment that went bad, and all of a sudden you have a kind of a mixture between an ordinary human being and a super being. Now, I'm saying, see, the challenge in literature is to come up with somebody who's powerful enough to save the world and who's ordinary enough to be connected to us. How do you get someone like that? And even in the ancient world, the mythologies were basically reflections on how can God relate to man? What would it be like if the gods were to enter into interaction with the human family? What's it like? And there's all kinds of efforts to try to figure that out. Well, of course, no one could figure it out. The best preparation was the prophets. The prophets who proclaimed the coming of a Messiah, an anointed one. But the Messiah, even the Jews couldn't get the whole picture because it was too big. The Messiah was still a human being sent by God. So they say, God will save us. The Jews have that conviction, they still have it. God will save us. God will save his people. The Messiah will save us. The Messiah is the savior of his people. But in the Jewish mind, those are two different things, God and the Messiah. Only when we get to Jesus Christ do we come to this extraordinary revelation that God himself is the Messiah. God himself becomes man. And that's what we have in this genealogy. It's a human genealogy, very human. Sure, there's great kings and famous people, but there's a lot of sinners too, and a lot of ordinary people too. It's a very human list, just like anybody. As I say, Jesus' genealogy is just like anybody else's. He's of the same family. And yet, this really comes out at the end, and it will be clear in tomorrow's gospel as well. It's not like any other genealogy because there's a break. Father, son, father, son, father, son, father, son. Then we get to Matan, father of Jacob, Jacob, father of Joseph, Joseph. It doesn't say Joseph, father of Jesus. It breaks the pattern and says Joseph, husband of Mary. It throws a wrench into the whole pattern. Joseph, husband of Mary, of her was born Jesus, who's called the Christ. So this is Matthew's brilliant way of saying Jesus is 100% human. He has a human genealogy, but he's 100% divine. He comes from God. He doesn't come from Joseph. And that's the mystery we're preparing to celebrate next week, Christmas. That's the mystery that's at the heart of our salvation. Jesus Christ, both God and man, 100% God, 100% man, in one person. How do you talk about it? Well, the genealogy is one way to get us pondering this extraordinary gift, this extraordinary mystery. This story will continue as we progress through this second part of Advent.